Jeff, you have written a book that's been a New York Times bestseller, an incredible book. It's called The Short and Tragic Life of Robert Peace. Can you tell us briefly, who is Robert Peace and how did you come across this story?
Oh, thank you so much, Helen. I'm so glad to be talking to you. Rob was my randomly paired freshman year roommate at Yale in 1998. Ended up living together all 4 years, and he became my best friend. 9 years after we graduated, I was brushing my teeth and got a Facebook message. I learned that he had died violently in a basement in a drug-related homicide. And in the months that followed, after the funeral, just a community formed of people who didn't want to let him go, people who just were in touch, and we told stories, and the book came out of that.
So you and Rob had different types of experiences before arriving at Yale and rooming together. Can you sketch briefly kind of your background and his?
Sure. Yeah, I grew up in the country. My dad was a doctor. All my needs were met. Rob grew up the hard way in Newark, New Jersey. His mother worked very long hours for very little money, mostly in hospital and nursing home kitchens. And his father was in prison, arrested, later convicted for a double murder when Rob was 7 years old. That didn't stop his father from using prison payphones to call home and go over Rob's homework. Our first laugh came out of the fact that he was a black guy from the hood who played water polo, while I was a white guy from the country who ran sprints for the track team.
I love that you're mentioning Rob's mother, who I think is an incredible character in this book, an incredible person. And I think that her struggle to create a different kind of life for Rob is one that the reader really empathizes with. But there's this moment that you describe where you meet her on when she's on the Yale campus, maybe feeling out of her element. And she's very closed and very guarded with you at first. And I'm just wondering, how did you get to know her so much better to the point where you could actually write this book? What was that like?
Yeah, well, when Jackie dropped off Rob at college, you know, first day of freshman year, she was reticent, to say the least. My mom was measuring windows so she could make curtains on her sewing machine, and very chatty. I mean, I met his mom a few more times through college, but we never really talked much. Maybe 6 months after Rob died and the idea formed to try to tell the story of his life and not his death in some way. I mean, at the time, I was just thinking maybe a small piece in the Yale Alumni magazine or something. But, I went to her home and expecting to meet a shattered woman about 6 months after Rob died. Nervous for a lot of reasons, but mainly just that talking about it would cause her more pain, which I'm sure it did. But in the meantime, she was so gracious and smiled a lot, laughed a little bit. And I think she was just moved that people still cared. And over the next, what turned into 3 years, talking many times a week, I learned that she was not reticent at all. She has an awful lot of spirit, and she's the closest thing to a perfect person in this story.
Yeah, we are, readers, I believe, are incredibly moved by her grace and her sacrifices. You have previously written fiction, and this is your first effort in nonfiction. And some of the subjects that you're talking about, you know, are generally written about in nonfiction, but you borrow tools from fiction to tell this story. Was that hard? And how did your drafts evolve over time?
Oh, sure. And as you say, I had no experience in journalism or research. And the research from this book was, for the most part, just sitting down with people and sharing stories, friends, family, classmates, drug dealers. As far as the writing of it, as you know from your work, the best way to tell these stories is just to take your interviews, take your material, and sort of tell it straight.
Yeah, get out of the way.
Yeah, without getting fancy.
I know you've been traveling around the country visiting different college campuses, and it seems like race and class and privilege are subjects that are flaring up across college campuses all across the United States. Particularly
at Yale, where Rob and I went.
Yeah, what have you learned along the way visiting, and what have some of those visits to college campuses been like? And why are we having these conversations right now?
That's a huge question. In my experiences visiting, you know, Ivy League schools and juvenile halls and pretty much every space in between, it's been really powerful and also fascinating in a way. Students approach and respond to this book and probably your books as well, I'm sure, in different ways. I would say students from more affluent, sheltered communities and backgrounds, they wrestle with it. They want to make it make more sense. They want the lines to be clean, and it's a leap to acknowledge that life is messy. The lines aren't clean. Not everybody experiences each moment the same way, and decisions that seem totally irrational from the outside are usually completely irrational to the person making them. And when I visit inner city schools or juvenile halls, historically black universities, I would say usually met not with hostility, but definitely skepticism.
Because you're a white guy tackling these subjects?
Yeah, white guy, Yale graduate, wearing a tie. I think they're expecting me to stand up and say, don't do drugs and stay off the streets. And once we start talking, asking questions, they realize we're just there to talk about relationships, how people treat each other. Everybody has bad luck, makes bad decisions. In Rob's case, his bad decisions were life-ending, but everybody also loves their mother and their friends.
Yeah, and Jackie's love for her son, I think, is what stays with me when I think about this book as some of the most unforgettable moments in it. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Oh, thank you, Helen. I'm so grateful.